Hello everybody and welcome to this Roast Martin podcast on the EQ competency of straightforwardness. Joined today by co-founder of Roast Martin, Judy Purse. Good afternoon.
Hello.
And our head of high performance, Joe Davis. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Or good morning or good evening, wherever you are listening to this. The EQ competency of straightforwardness is often a little bit misunderstood. Joe, perhaps we can start by giving us what's the best definition of straightforwardness.
Okay, so for me, I think that straightforwardness is best thought of as a communication strategy. Essentially, it involves the ability to communicate your thoughts and feelings and opinions in a straightforward manner that is clear, concise, and your communication acknowledges the other person in the interaction as well, whether that be their views or their opinions that they might hold. So I think that sums it up in a bit of a nutshell, really, what straightforwardness is. Did you have anything to add to that, Judy?
Yeah, I like that definition, Joe. But I kind of like to think of straightforwardness as just saying what needs to be said without overstating or understating that message. It's interesting, really, to think why we don't just do that. We can all think about times, conversations we've had in our lives when we would have saved a whole lot of angst and anxiety if we've just said honestly and straightforwardly and with conviction what we really believe needed to be said.
Is it, do you think, that there's that desire not to offend or be too direct that people then confuse straightforwardness with rudeness?
Yes, I mean, I think there's potentially an element of that with certain people. I think if some people might think that if you're being too straightforward, it might not be the natural way to have a conversation. But actually, in leadership in particular, I think it's a hugely important skill to get good at, and being able to articulate your views and thoughts clearly and accurately while acknowledging the other person. So I think, yeah, that there's certainly an element of that at play.
I think sometimes people do overstate straightforwardness and come on too strong. I kind of like to think of straightforwardness as on a bit of a continuum. So the middle point of that continuum is just straightforward, honest communications. Whereas if you go down to one end of it, you've got the opposite of that, which is kind of like people that are giving communications being really passive, being compliant, being submissive, or just too agreeable. And then if you come up to the other end of the continuum, you've got people who in their communications are dominating, ordering, bordering on aggression at times. Neither end of those continuums work very well in communication. So if we kind of think about where we sit on that continuum, it gives us an idea of whether we're getting those conversations right or not.
That's really interesting. So, I mean, Joe, you mentioned leadership. In the workplace, how does that actually work when we talk about straightforwardness and that continuum? How does that actually develop in the workplace?
Yeah, so I think at this stage it'd be quite useful to think of straightforwardness comprising three key components or building blocks, if you like. Because if you can keep these in mind when you're in the workplace, I think they're really useful areas to think about. And the three components of straightforwardness, as we would describe them, are, first of all, self-control. So this is the emotional aspect of straightforwardness, which maybe some people wouldn't think about when thinking of that as a competency. The second aspect is assertiveness. So it's about how you communicate. Is it clear? Is it concise? And then the third aspect there would be acknowledging others, which is really important, because I think if you're a leader or if you're someone within the workplace and you don't acknowledge the other person's views or opinions when you're in a conversation, then it's harder to get their buy-in, because you need to get their buy-in for your vision or to deliver outcomes within a work within the workplace. So those are three key elements I think worth considering. In terms of how they work in the workplace, well, we can elaborate on a bit on all three of those areas, but at this point I would be interested to get your views, Judy, on how it works in the workplace based on coaching experience you might have had or tying in those three areas, how you see it working in the workplace.
Well, sometimes I like just to simplify things a little bit too. In the workplace, when I think about straightforwardness, I think it's really just about having honest, effective communications at all levels. Sometimes what's involved is what we refer to sometimes in leadership speak as having difficult conversations. From my point of view, sometimes it's just about not waffling in meetings or people that get up and do verbal rants. Alternatively, sometimes it's just about speaking out when you need to speak out or challenging a situation that needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
And sometimes straightforwardness is just as simple as saying no and pushing back on something that you perceive is totally unreasonable.
Yeah.
So the key question, which I'm sure everyone is thinking now listening to this, is how do you develop it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of things you can consider here when you come to develop straightforwardness as a competency. I think when it comes to any psychological skill or competency, it's important, first of all, to gain a bit of an insight into where you currently stand. Because if you don't gain the insight into yourself and perhaps gain an insight based on other people's perceptions, then it's then hard to change your behaviour over time. So once you gain the insight, it's then important to deploy a new set of tactics and strategies that help you build this competency over time, and it's important to do that in small steps. So when I say gaining an insight, using a psychometric assessment tool like ECR is a really useful way to do that because it's based on rigorous science, and you can also get a 360 interpretation based on how your colleagues see you on this skill, which is important with something like straightforwardness. Once you've gained an insight and a bit of a benchmark into where you currently sit, some of the coaching strategies within the likes of the ECR coaching report can be quite useful. Now, I guess at this stage you're probably thinking, what are some of those strategies and tactics that you can start to deploy? Well, I think that thinking of those three key areas I talked a bit about a few minutes ago, self-control, assertiveness and acknowledging others, there's a few different things within those that are worth thinking about and working on. And as you start to think about this yourself, if you were to take the ECR, for example, it might be certain areas there that you need to pinpoint a bit more of your attention to start with. So for some people, it might be the self-control aspect. In other words, maybe managing your anxiety a bit better when you're in certain situations. In order to manage anxiety in certain situations, there's a number of things you can do. One of those key things you can do to manage anxiety is be prepared for the conversation that you might be about to have with a boss or a colleague, a difficult conversation. Or thinking about those things that you can control within that conversation, which is how you put your message across. You can control your thoughts and your feelings to an extent in that situation. So it's about, in other words, it's about controlling the controllables in that situation and not thinking too much about the other person or external influences. Was there anything? I don't want to go into too much depth there without bringing Judy in to maybe add a bit of insight to that as well.
Yeah, I like, Joe, what you said about a lot of straightforward communications is about managing your emotional state in that situation. I kind of think when I'm coaching people to be better at this skill, almost have two different coaching strategies depending on where they're coming from. So the person who has that tendency to say, I'm going to speak up, people are not really going to listen to me, so they sort of seem to up the ante and start to be overly straightforward, almost aggressive, and it's almost like they've got a verbal diarrhea, they just talk at people. They've got to manage their emotions because they realise as soon as they go into that being overly straightforward, people just back off from them. So people that are in that category actually need to get buy into their message by pulling back, managing that emotion, and starting to get a little bit of buy-in by listening to other people's point of views and engaging with other people before presenting their message. It's no good just going in and being aggressive. That doesn't make people listen to you. A bit like a nagging parent. You know, you can nag your kids all the time. Often that just puts up resistance. You've got to get buy-in to why you want them to do what it is. Then there's the other group of people who just tend to be too passive, and that they think in these kind of ways, well, if I say that, people might not like me. If I put my point of view out there, people might argue and disagree with me, and that would be awful. So they actually need to manage their emotions in that not thinking about other people, but focusing more on taking control of the situation themselves. For that group of people, I asked them, and you mentioned this, you know, when you're going to message, you need to get yourself prepared and you need to think about what is it I want to say, why do I want to say it, and what will be the consequences if I get it right. Okay. So it's about focusing more on me delivering the message, because I can say for myself, in the early days, if I had to do something, make a straightforward conversation, I would be too busy being a good coach or the good psychologist and just listen to everybody and never express my point of view. So for people like me, it's really important that we get our point of view in first and get in, get prepared, get upright and say what it is you want to say before buying into everybody else. You just get consumed by everybody else's needs. So there's almost two approaches to being straightforward. And if you're aggressive, you need to listen more and take into account other people more. And if you're passive, you need to step up and express your own point of view and kind of defocus on other people's needs, because you're going to do that too well.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose this, you know, doesn't just apply to, I mean, we were talking about leaders earlier on, this is everybody in any organisation at whatever level need to have that ability, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was quite recently, Judy, wasn't it, that we were doing a workshop with one of our large corporate clients with the younger population, shall we say, within that business. I think it was the graduates, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a bit about, we talked quite a lot about straightforwardness. You led the conversation around straightforwardness and why maybe as graduates coming into a large business, it might be quite a hard skill to be quite competent at that stage in their career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that can be quite common across a range of different industries. And maybe some people are a bit more natural at it than others, but I guess as you're starting out in your career, maybe confidence and competence is maybe on the lower side compared to someone who'd been in a business for 15, 20 years. Backing your own judgment, backing yourself and your views, and being straightforward in certain situations might be a bit more challenging when you're at that more youthful stage of your career, shall we say.
Which is completely understandable, isn't it? I suppose, as you say, with a lower amount of experience, that, you know, backing yourself in certain situations, that judgment comes with that experience of life and work in general, doesn't it?
I would say so, yes. Yeah, I think so. Would you agree, Judy, that comes with experience?
Yeah, so we all start off, we've kind of heard that phrase of fake it till you make it. Mm. But in the early days, I think, you know, you work into an organisation and it can be quite intimidating. And sometimes you have to really learn some of these strategies of mentally preparing yourself or calming yourself down, even visualising yourself, doing these kind of conversations well. But, you know, when you're in that early position of being in an organisation, people don't have those high expectations, and it's the very best time to start learning some of these techniques.
Yes, yeah. I think just adding to that, that one of the key strategies, if you like, for building self-belief is modelling. And when we talk about modelling, we're talking about thinking of someone or painting a picture of someone or even putting yourself in the shoes of someone you admire who does something particularly well, such as straightforwardness. So it might be a leader that you have within your organisation or a manager or someone outside of that, maybe even someone, if you like sport, for example, someone that you might see as a straightforward character that delivers effective communication.
So it's kind of like you watch them and you watch what they do.
Absolutely.
And then you kind of imitate it in some ways, or you have a go at it because they've given you a really good example and you can see how that communication works.
Yeah.
You see, that's interesting to bring in sport. You know, obviously you work a lot within sport, that those role models have really changed. We take football for an example, where you had someone like Sir Alex Ferguson held up as a role model, and I'd imagine would score very high on straightforwardness, but not necessarily the right type of straightforwardness. And yet now we see managers like Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp that are held up as examples of emotionally intelligent leaders.
Mm.
It's interesting that A, those role models have changed, and B, how people learn from those sort of inspirational figures.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know you used the example of Sir Alex Ferguson at the start, and he's one of the best managers to ever live, but he coached and started out his career with a different generation. At the time, back then, command and control type leadership was a bit more prevalent and was seen as almost more natural and more like the norm. Whereas now, players, if we take football example, players respond to a different type of leadership. It's very much going towards the emotionally intelligent style of leadership, where you're creating conditions of psychological safety, where players feel they're able to take risks without being criticised or judged. They feel like they can speak to their leaders or their managers about anything without being judged. There's more of an emotional connection there, and I mean, at that stage we're talking quite a lot about the scale of empathy, which we're not talking about today, but straightforwardness relates to that in many ways, because in order to deliver communication in a straightforward manner, we obviously talked about acknowledging others as being a key component to that. So I think absolutely you're right that nowadays leaders are very much empathic, but they're also straightforward, and their followers buy into their communication. So it's a good example.
Here's a question for you, and it will start off like sounding like a bad joke. There are two Scots and an Australian in a room making a podcast. That's anecdotal, you might say, if you're Australian or a Scot, or maybe an American, that you are culturally more straightforward. Is there any evidence to back that up, or is that purely anecdotal?
Well, being an Australian, I think most Australians would like to think that they're reasonably straightforward. We have a saying of calling a spade, just telling it as it really is. And Australians can do that quite well a lot of the time. But you know, that brings up that aspect of, is there cultural differences when we come to things like straightforwardness? And I absolutely believe they are. It's not Australians and Scots, but I found myself delivering a message about straightforwardness in Abu Dhabi once with a group of Arab leaders, and admittedly they were most males. And as we were talking about the absolute benefits of speaking in a straightforward way, and what that involved, the HR manager, who happened to be in Australia, pulled me up. She goes, "Juliet, it looks a little bit differently from an Arabic point of view. We find it very difficult in this part of the world to be straightforward. Typically, people go round and round and round and round before they get to the point. And that's just the way they've always done it. So we have to tread a little bit more carefully in some cultures that are not used to being straightforward, and it's kind of ingrained in part of their cultures."
And you mentioned when we touched on the competency of empathy there, and I know obviously when there's always a danger for over-concentrating on one competency, they obviously balance with each other. with straightforwardness as well as empathy, what are the other competencies that are very closely linked to it?
I can just based on some recent experience for me, both within sport and also within the business world, when delivering some feedbacks around emotional intelligence based on ECR, found some patterns or relationships between the competency of straightforwardness and self-confidence in particular. And that was actually both in the business and the sport context, interestingly enough. And to elaborate on that, what we found really was that when we started having a conversation as to why straightforwardness, taking the senior leader within business as a starting point, when we started to have a conversation around why straightforwardness was maybe within the development area category, if you like, on the ECR, it was once we started to dig a bit deeper and understand what was underpinning that, it was not so much about not being able to deliver assertive or clear and concise communication. There was two elements at play. It was the anxiety element of feeling a bit anxious in certain situations, maybe not feeling that her opinion was valued. But then going back to the self-confidence relationship, when we kept unpicking it, we came to realise together that it was largely down to her confidence in certain situations, not backing her own judgment. And at times, not always, because she was obviously a very high-performing senior leader to get to where she was, but it was just at certain times she didn't quite back her own competence levels to then deliver the straightforward message and communication that was required. So in the sports example, it was slightly different, but it was similar in that the straightforwardness related to the low self-confidence.
I often think when you're thinking about those two aspects, that self-confidence and straightforwardness, if you want to overcome a little bit of that, it's really important to look at your self-talk. What we mean about self-talk is that illustration you just gave. She's probably saying to herself, oh, they're not going to believe me when I say this. I'm a little bit nervous about that, and focusing on what can go wrong and giving herself a lot of messages that get in the way of confidence. And if she could actually take the time to think why she can get it right and say, if I remember that time, I've really got that right. I'm quite capable of doing this. I'm a strong leader. I've got all of this experience. I should be able to deliver this message. And then going through a practice of actually imagining delivering that message in a way that was successful kind of prepares her to step up out of that lack of self-confidence and deliver the straightforward message.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of techniques like that to kind of overcome some of those potential inadequacies or perceived inadequacies.
Yeah. The other thing I think as well, on the flip side of the sort of lower side of straightforwardness and self-confidence as an example, there's also the, which I've seen a number of times, and I'm sure you probably have as well, Judy, where leaders or whoever it might be that have taken ECR have scored quite high on the competency of straightforwardness, which on the face of it sounds good. Okay, great, I'm really good at delivering clear, concise messages. But when you maybe look down the profile a little bit, it might be that empathy and relationship skills could be on the lower side. And if you think about that, what does that mean? That might mean that at times they're too straightforward. There might be more of a dominating style without taking the other person into consideration. And listening and understanding the other person's point of view. So that's another interrelationship I've noticed. Is that something you've noticed as well?
Yeah, very, very commonly in that old style of leadership that you referred to before, when you've got leaders who are well experienced, great competence, very self-reliant, when they just speak in a fairly normal voice, all of those other things kind of back it up and it can come across as quite loud and people will back off from them.
Mm.
And what they need to do, as you say, is incorporate a little bit more empathy into their message and get buy-in from other people.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, we're talking about younger people coming into the workforce and is it a little bit chicken and egg that those younger generation coming through do not respond well to exactly that type of leadership that you've described? Or is it also that there is also a new generation sort of below the older generation coming through who lead in a different way? Or is it a mixture of both?
I posed that to this group of graduate leaders in this corporate that Joe was referring to that we delivered to last week. And they seem to think that with a lot of the conversation that's come up through social media, and it's very okay to talk about mental illness, to talk about problems, to be a little bit more vulnerable as a person in the workplace, they believe that that just prepared them for communications in a different way, whereas that older generation never used to speak about vulnerability. Their view of a leader was someone who was always very straightforward and very strong without showing any vulnerability.
Mm. Yeah, I think more and more now younger people are requiring the capacity to be autonomous in the work and create their own solutions, take things in their own directions, have more responsibility. And I think if you have a leader who's overly straightforward, a bit like the command and control type we were talking earlier, they're not given as much of that opportunity and they don't respond as well to it. And I think that's maybe why in certain organisations productivity and engagement can be quite low. I think it was Gallup survey in 2018 said that productivity is at an all-time low, and I think that's because certain styles of leadership haven't evolved the way they need to influence and motivate the younger generation nowadays.
Well, we're nearly out of time, so I think the best thing to end on is something really practical that somebody can listen to this can take away and say, I need to build my straightforwardness. What's the one thing, piece of advice that you would give them? Joe, how about you go first?
So for me, there's maybe two things here, just some simple little things.
You're so generous. Two rather than one.
Sorry, yeah, just two things that I think would be useful. The first thing is considering those three elements of straightforwardness and thinking how they relate to you. To recap, those being assertiveness, self-control, and acknowledging others. The second little task I like to do, both with people within business and with athletes that I've worked with, is to get them to think about if they were to wake up tomorrow and their skill of straightforwardness looked slightly better, or ask themselves, what does good straightforwardness look like if they were to wake up tomorrow? Make some notes on two or three key qualities or characteristics that would involve, and then think to yourself, okay, so what can I do now within my power? What would be some of the small steps I can put in place to try and achieve some of these things in the next couple of weeks? I think that's quite a useful way to paint a picture of what you think straightforwardness looks like. Keep your mind focused on it and take it from there.
Brilliant, JD?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Great strategies, Joe. I'm thinking about when you're preparing yourself for a difficult conversation, there's a few things that you can do. One is simply just breathe. So before you have to go into a straightforward conversation, just get yourself grounded, just get yourself in a position, and make sure that you think about the conversation in a positive way, and then just really say what you need to say without even trying to apologize or without trying to convince somebody. And that's all about positioning yourself, making sure that you're making good eye contact with somebody, check that you're standing straight, check that you believe what you're actually saying, and so you can put a little bit of conviction behind it, and then basically just saying what you need to say.
Brilliant. Well, both, thank you very much. Joe Davis, head of... what's your job title again? Head of
Performance Psychology.
Head of Performance Psychology. Judy Peirce, co-founder of Roche Martin. I've been Ian Aitken, the CEO here at Roche Martin. Any questions at all about anything you've heard today, please don't hesitate to get in touch and keep an eye out for the next podcast. Many thanks for listening.
Thank you.